You're at the tailgates of hell. The NFC East podcast for the common man. Here are your hosts, Jason Giaconia and Benjamin David.
Well, I don't have any fancy openings for you this week because I'm going to cherish every time I'm able to say the Redskins are in sole possession of first place in the NFC East. Welcome to the Tailgate to Hell, NFC.
They're probably the best team, actually.
No joke. We'll figure that out. I mean, they're hot and cold. So, Tailgate to Hell, NFC East podcast for the common man. NFL is through 4 weeks. We're a quarter of the way through the season. So, I think now is when you can start to really, like, differentiate. Okay, who's good? Who's bad? You see guys start going out for the season. Earl Thomas flipping off his teammates on the sidelines. It's another interesting weekend. NFL actually, as much shit as we give it, besides the roughing the passer penalties through 4 weeks, it's been at least entertaining.
It's a competitive year. There's a lot going on. Man, poor Earl Thomas. After all that drama, dude breaks his leg, flicks off the – I assume he's flicking off his – like his
– like to the Seahawks, like F the man, yeah, you know?
Right. Not necessarily the like specific teammates, but who knows.
But the thing with him is he got a big contract. It's not like he's a rookie – I know Le'Veon Bell, you know, he got franchised and he's getting paid boatloads for that. But I get his situation a little bit more because he's never got that long-term deal. Like, I don't know, the dude made $56 million. How bad are you really supposed to feel for him?
Yeah, I mean, right, that's right. I think it's just, you know, I think he was probably expecting to get traded. And now his season, potentially his career is... you know, overall, he's not, I mean, he's, I don't think, I feel probably come back, but he's not a young guy. You know,
no, and this is the second time I think he's had a leg break. And I mean, I guess they said it's pretty clean as a freaking broken leg can be. But, you know, you wonder if teams start questioning that. And I'm pretty sure they had a deal in the works, or I read with Kansas City, and I don't know what happened to that. Dark times for him.
Dark times for Earl Thomas. But if you're going to go out flicking off the franchise you play for and also hate is an all-time way to get it's almost like it's like how a wrestler would, like, a loser leaves town,
right? F everybody, F the crowd, I'm done.
Yep.
All right, what's next? I'm having technological issues. I can't even pull up my notes.
Le'Veon Bell coming back
week 7. Yeah, we kind of touched on that. It's gonna, like, I feel, especially with the way the Steelers are going right now, I feel like he's just going to go kicking and screaming. Like, he's not going to participate in anything. He's basically going to suit up and do nothing.
I mean, why? You know, if I'm him, who does he care? Like, if he loses a year, you know, who cares?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
at some point, the Steelers are going to realize how much value he has and trade him.
You know, but it's almost like, are the Steelers going to – how are they going to play it? Because I think if I'm a team, I'm almost thinking, you know, do I just wait for him to be released next year? Are they going to franchise again? Yeah, again? So I don't know that I don't know if the Steelers will trade him. They probably will, but, like, what are they? Are they going to get what he's really worth? You know, it's a weird situation. I think Le'Veon Bell actually has sort of the leverage here. You know,
yeah,
it's like if he's willing to just say screw the Steelers,
and I think that's where he's at.
Yeah. I mean, if he's not going to come back and play, then he's not going to come back and play. What are you going to do? So
that's
I don't know. It's a weird situation. I expect him to get moved. You know, the rumor is Philadelphia is interested in him, but, God, I really hope that doesn't happen.
They're going to trade for a new quarterback or a new running back every year. They did it. Jay Ajayi last year. I think that cost him a second-round pick. And, yeah.
I would assume the Steelers want a first-round pick for him, right?
Do it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason they don't want to pay a running back. And it's, I mean, he's the talented dude, but they have a shelf life. We'll see. So I said we're a quarter of the way through the season. This is kind of where you can start to judge teams. Who is any good in this league?
I mean, there's two undefeated teams. They're probably the best teams in the league, right? I mean, the Rams look really good. And that to me is the team with, like, the most star power, the most, like, I think I said to you during the Monday night game, they remind me of like the greatest show on turf.
I know.
Rams, right? So I think they're probably the best team in the league. And then Kansas City. It's still Kansas City. It's still Andy Reid. But is Mahomes the freaking magic elixir to save Andy Reid from itself? I don't know. That dude is Brett Favre. I mean, that's what he
is. He awesome. And yeah, I remember when they drafted him, I was like, what are they doing? They got a guy there in Alex Smith. And I say this because, I mean, not that I knew a lot of Patrick Mahomes in college, but he came from Texas Tech, which is almost a kiss of death to begin with. They took him in the seventh. They took him in the first round. I thought it was the 17th pick, but I'm pretty sure they traded up to 10. And that's generally that territory where teams are just reaching for quarterbacks. And it felt like a huge reach there. And then they got rid of Alex Smith this last year. And I mean, granted, I would hope they know something I don't, because they watched all the games and, they're in the building with him every day. But you know the team that traded with the Chiefs, right?
Oh, yeah.
The Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons.
Oh, it would just be so fitting for this guy to be unbelievable. But to your first point, it's still the Chiefs. Through, I think, 4 or 5 games last year, they were undefeated. They looked like world beaters.
Yeah.
And they fell apart. They ended up winning the division and then pissed away that playoff game.
Yep.
Like you said, it's still Andy Reid. But, I mean, that's a dynamic team.
I will say, if Mahomes can counteract Andy Reid in the playoffs just enough, that team will win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But there's just some curse on him that he can't get it done in the big games. The health and all that stuff too with the Chiefs. But I like the Chiefs. I mean, I don't think they're going to get as much respect as the Rams are going to get and are getting.
Yeah.
But then, on the flip side of all that, it's like the good teams stink.
Right.
The quote-unquote good teams,
Or the ones you would have thought coming into the season, or teams that made the playoffs, and the ones that are traditionally good. So you got the Steelers. They're 1-2-1 at this point, I believe.
By the way, they'll end up getting into the playoffs at 8-7-1, like they always do when they have a tie.
And then they'll be that dangerous team in the playoffs.
Yeah, right.
So you got the Minnesota Vikings, who are they're 1-2-1, and God, all these freaking ties. It's so stupid. Looking.
How is that happening this year?
Well, because they have the 10-minute overtime now, so it's shorter, and now both teams get the ball. That's
Both
two
teams
good
get
drives.
Yeah.
But they're playing the Eagles this week, who are another one of those teams. The Eagles are 2-2, so they're not in quite as bad shape, but the Vikings are staring 1-3-1. Right in the face, and out of nowhere, the Bears are, racking up wins in the NFC, or I almost said Central a long time ago, in the NFC North. The Patriots, I don't know what to make of, because they were 1-2. They don't look good, but then they just steamroll the Dolphins.
I mean, we should just live under the assumption they'll be in the Super Bowl and not lose a game this year. I mean, they get Josh Gordon in probably... Belichick has made a bunch of crazy, brilliant moves. That one may go down as his best if Josh Gordon just keep it together, just a little hell of a wide receiver.
Right, and they got Edelman coming back this week too.
Right. Is it any surprise that they get Josh Gordon into the game? I know he didn't play that much, but all of a sudden the offense starts to click a little bit. They get Edelman back. It's just like... Now look out, And I've seen the Patriots get written off so many times in September that there's just no point in doing it
and
anymore.
And what it always comes back to is you start looking up and down that division, and there ain't nobody that's going to challenge them. The Bills and Jets are awful. Dolphins are 3-1, but it's kind of a 3-1, and then the Patriots just kicked the crap out of them this last weekend.
Right.
In the NFC South, so the Bucks came back to Earth. The Panthers, who knows what to make of them? The Saints, they're 3-1, but they're kind of a gross 3-1. The Falcons are 1-3 out of nowhere.
The Falcons stink. All right,
they can't stop anybody.
No, they're choker. You know what I mean? It's just like they're never gonna win the big game. In fact, when they were in the big game, they had the biggest joke job of all time. So no one's afraid of the Falcons. They're not tough. They're soft. I got nothing to say about the Falcons at this point of the year. The Saints, you know, they're 3-1. I will tell you that having watched that game up close, they're not that good of a team. Kamara is a hell of a running
back. He's awesome.
I mean, no doubt about that. And that guy killed the Giants right when they needed the dagger. But, you know, they're running this gimmicky offense, and I haven't seen a lot of their games, but they were running these crazy gimmicks against the Giants. They were putting their backup quarterback in. They were – and it's like, what is this? You know, it was just a strange thing, and those sort of plays are cool every once in a while, but if you're, like, building an offense around that, I think that's bad news as you play better teams. And so, you know, they can put up points in the dome. They struggled to put up points this week, even though they ended up running away with it. So, I don't know. I've never been a big fan. I mean, Drew Brees has been great, but I've never been a fan of his. And I just feel like that franchise is just hamstrung in terms of talent, the abilities of Drew Brees at this point, and they got one hell of a running back. And their defense is like terrible. Against the pass, which I will touch on later. You know, I don't think they're going anywhere. I do actually, you know, will they win the South? That would probably be my guess.
Yeah, I mean, who else is there?
I guess if the Panthers get hot, but I don't know. I mean, that's just it's a bad division.
Let's go there then. You want to talk about pass defense? I guess we'll start with the Giants. We got to talk NFC East sometime, even though we're talking about bad teams. We might as well just roll it right into the NFC East.
The Giants stink. I mean, what else can I say? There was a glimmer of hope last week in Houston, but you know, when you have to come back to beat a bad team, then that makes you a bad team. You know what I mean? So Eli, 31 of 41, 250 yards, one touchdown. That's fine. The deal with the Giants is, well, first of all, the defense is fine. Okay, that defense ran a scheme. They kept the Saints out of the end zone for three quarters. They were beating the crap out of them. They were playing fine. They had some terrible calls goes against. This did not end the game or anything like that, but they called a horse collar tackle on Janoris Jenkins where he had the guy wrapped up by the arms. And then the ref that was 20 yards away threw the flag. The ref that saw it ran in and said he didn't do it, and they still called the penalty, which is just like – it blows my mind how that happens.
The refs are so bad.
Yeah. Pete Morelli is the new Jeff Triplett, I think.
Someone needs a title.
So but that offense is broken. I mean, Eli missed some – Eli started the game – looking like a continuation of last week. And then he just started to get the jitters, and it was check down, check down, check down. Odell Beckham's going to blow one of these weeks because that guy is getting open occasionally, and Eli's missed him bad a couple times in the game. There's no vertical game because none of these plays develop. The offense stinks. It's the same thing it's been for 4 years. Eli's offensive line is trash. And Red Ellison, who's a good tight end, and a bunch of no-name, you know, third and fourth string wide receivers. The game really turned when Wayne Gallman fumbled that ball as they were moving down the field, and they never caught back. So I don't know. Giants suck. What can I say? It's like this is at best like a 6-10 team. So. We'll see what happens.
I'm sure at least one of those will be against the Redskins in the Meadowlands. Yeah, Giants also cost me my lock, and so now we have a loss on the board, but we'll get to that in a second. Up next, my favorite part of the weekend happened in Tennessee, Nashville. Oh, it was so glorious watching the Eagles. They blow a 14-point lead to begin with. Then they go to overtime, and there's a 4th and 15 where they just straight up did not cover this guy. He just ran a little out. There was an Eagle standing right there. He didn't even move. And, you know, the one I think I hate the overtime, the way it's structured now with the ties and stuff like that, because it forces coaches. It happened in the Colts game, and it happened to Mike Vrabel with Tennessee, where you know, it's fourth down and you can kick a field goal to tie the game. And at that point, there's so much time off the clock that you're probably going to tie.
Right.
And then you kind of look like a right. joke if you don't go for the win. But when right. you're doing the probabilities at the end of the year, like your goal is to win the Super Bowl. So the tie is probably the higher probability way to go. Right. But Mike Vrabel and Frank Reich, it worked out for Vrabel, not for Reich. So screw it. We're going for it. And
right.
Titans win the game.
I mean, here's my question. Are the Titans good?
They are part of my lock and not in a good way this week.
They're... I mean, I feel like they've been in it at the end of the season for the past like 4 years, but
they won a playoff game last year.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
fired their coach. So what does that tell you?
I like the navy blue helmet. Whatever.
Oh, I love it.
That was a good change for them. Anyways, the Eagles, they stink too. This is not a good team. You know, they don't have the spark. They don't have the magic last year at this point.
They might just be good enough in the division because none of the other teams are very good.
I was going to say they're probably good enough to win the division, and then I could see them sort of get hot in a playoff run sort of scenario.
Yeah, because they got the same guys as last year. They know how to do it, and that defensive line is still pretty good.
Right, but I just don't – I don't know. I look at them, and they just – it's just nothing there right now, you know? So good. I mean, glad Tennessee beat them. Shove it down their throats.
Loser of the Vikings-Eagles game this weekend, too, will already have matched through
five games. Where is that game?
Philadelphia. No. But they will have matched their win or their loss total from last year, you know, on October 7th. So interesting there. Cowboys, they get a win.
They won, but they stink, too.
Oh, they're all – I mean, they have – one of the best players in the game in Ezekiel Elliott and not a whole hell of a lot else.
He is literally carrying that team on his legs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible. I think Dak went over to, I think Dak threw for 250 yards, but now they're saying he hasn't thrown for 300 yards for even a longer period of time. So,
he's just not that good. Like, he's just not that good. And we talked about it last week, but it almost makes me happy as a Redskins fan, but they're going to end up in a corner with him that I don't know how they're going to get out of, because I think he's going to be average and then his contract's going to come up and it's one of those, well, do you go back to the drawing board? Do you waste a first round pick, or do you have a guy here who you think is okay and had that one magical season? And I can see it from here, and it's probably not happening for another year or so, but that team is going to wind up in a corner. But no,
have the flip side of Elliott, who is now for a running back in that prime couple mm-hmm. years, and you got the line is starting to break. It's a weird, you know, thing with the Cowboys. Now, nothing's forever in the NFL, obviously, but they have to constantly retool that team, I feel mm-hmm. like.
And they had it, and then Aaron Rodgers just took it, just ripped it out. And they may at some point they'll find something. But with this group of guys, I don't know that they ever get back to that level that they were at 2 years ago.
And there's cap hell. Like every year they're maxed out on mm-hmm. on cap, so it makes it real hard for them. So you know, again. They stink too. They're 2-2. They're whatever. This whole division stinks.
Well, not the Redskins, because they got a winning record. They're the only ones. But I mean, they were off last week. Nothing really came out from them. They go back to New Orleans on Monday, a place where last year we talk about getting your heart ripped out. That's where the Redskins on the ESPN probability tractor had a literally 99.6% chance of winning the game and somehow pissed away a 15-point lead in 2.5 minutes. But that's why we watch the game. I don't know what – I really don't know what to make of this team. They looked great 2 weeks against – I mean, the Cardinals are awful, and the Packers, you take Aaron Rodgers off that team and they would not beat anybody. So they're not very good too. They looked.
Did you see him talking trash about his coach, basically?
Do you blame him?
I mean, we've been saying for 3 years that Mike McCarthy is a terrible head coach. Basically, his entire playbook is let Aaron Rodgers throw the ball.
I mean, and literally, he's a, I mean, I, at least in my opinion, there's nobody even close to how good he is in the NFL, and they are literally pissing his career away. He's lucky he got that one Super Bowl 5 years ago, because, I mean, he does some awesome stuff, but they suck.
For sure. They let him down, no doubt about it.
And I let everybody down last week. We went 1-1 in our locks. I went dumpster diving with the Giants, plus 3.5, and
never bet on the Giants.
I know. Well, that's what I say about the Redskins. I would never bet on the Redskins, but I thought for a while it looked like it was the right side, and then the Saints pull away. You had the Bengals over the Falcons. That was dicey at the end. They win by a point on an AJ Green touchdown with like 18 seconds or something like that to go, but it doesn't matter how it gets done, just that it does get done. So I say I don't play the teams, I play the lines, and I alluded to it earlier, so I'll go first. The one line that just jumps off the page to me is the Buffalo Bills plus 3.5. They're playing the Titans. We talked about it earlier. Is Tennessee good? They're 3-1. They just beat the Super Bowl champions at home. They're going to Buffalo, and the Bills are god-awful. And I mean, they're just awful, and they're only giving 3.5 points. That stinks to me. I love the Buffalo Bills this weekend.
I think you're losing your mind.
Probably.
My pick is the Denver Broncos at the Jets. The Jets are the home favorite, minus 2.5. No way. The Broncos win that game probably by 6 touchdowns. So I take the Broncos, outright win. The Jets stink, too. They're another stinky-ass team. So I'm taking the Broncos to cover that plus 2.5.
Who would ever thought the Broncos and the Bills are your your locks of the week? They're going to kick us off the air soon. All right, well, we'll be back with the stink rankings on the other side of that. Tailgates of Hell podcast, NFC East podcast for the common man.
You're listening to the Tailgates of Hell, the NFC East podcast for the common man. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes or Google Play.
All right, we're back for the week 4 stank rankings.
Love this part.
All right, Jason, number 28.
Number 28, they just got to stay on, because I love, we're an NFC East podcast. You know, we like talking about the league and what's going on, but I always like to talk about the Browns. They lose a heartbreaker last week. The league really screwed them. I mean, this team very well could, they're not because they're the Browns, but they could be 4-0.
It's incredible. I mean, it is. It's basically like suicidal Browns fan. I mean, I don't know how these poor people get up every Monday, go all week in their boring lives, and then suffer through this stuff every single year.
They get the Ravens coming to town this weekend.
You know what? If they can pop the Ravens, that to me, that's like a Super Bowl sort of win for a franchise like Cleveland. Pop the Ravens. Get yourself in the hunt. Number 29.
I saw. I got to steal it from Pro Football Talk. When I was looking at the power rankings, their caption next to the New York Jets was, "We'll always have Detroit." That team sucks.
They are bad. Darnold flashes of brilliance early in the year. Now he looks terrible. I mean, whatever. It's his rookie year. It's not a big deal. Maybe it is a big deal, but yeah, they're no good. It's tough to be the worst team in New York right now. I'll tell you that much, but they are. Number 30.
Number 30, and even now that I put them down and I'm going to stick with them, the Indianapolis Colts, I don't really have a whole lot to say about them, because the one time I sat down and watched them, they kicked the Redskins' ass. But they, you know, they take the Texans, which, I don't know, what the hell is that saying if you're going to overtime with the Texans and then losing? But it goes back to my earlier point about the overtime and how it kind of puts the coaches in a really tough position to not look like a wuss with the tie.
They really should just go back to the or not go back to, but go to the college, start at the 20, four downs from the 20.
Could you imagine?
Four downs from the 30, four downs from the 40. You know, I mean, that's the way you want to build excitement.
Yeah.
That's the way you do it.
And I didn't I didn't even hate how it used to be, where it was just sudden death. Like, I know it's nice for both teams to get a possession, but who cares? Play defense, stop.
Or ban the field goal. You know what I mean?
That's a thought, too. Or you can't kick a field goal till your second possession or something. Right. I mean, who knows?
Yeah. Number 31.
Number 31. This team sucks. Arizona Cardinals. They played Seattle. I mean, Seattle's no good this year anyway. But they played them tougher. Josh Rosen played okay. But, man, this is a garbage football team. 0-4. And wins are nowhere to be found for this team.
Yeah, I think this is a franchise that has historically been terrible. They sort of rose up the past 10 years as somewhat relevant, and now they are going to go back to their normal spot. We asked earlier who are the good teams. There are two good teams in this league, the Chiefs and the Rams. The rest of these teams are terrible. Number 32, speaking of terrible.
Oh, you knew. I mean, how the hell did the Vikings lose to the Buffalo Bills 2 weeks ago? I mean, and you know what? Not for nothing, but the Vikings are on a dangerous track where that loss and literally just not showing up and looking ahead to the Rams may very well cost that team a playoff spot. Buffalo Bills, number 32.
They are freight train coming off the tracks of bad.
And now you see, like I mentioned it earlier, you see Patrick Mahomes looking like the next Brett Favre, and they could have picked him.
My question about the Bills is not how many wins they're going to have, not how many losses they are going to have, is with this level of terribleness coming out of that stadium, how many bodies are leaving New Era Field in a hearse?
Right. If it's not pregame, it's...
I think the record's 3 in a year for the Bills. So we'll see if we beat that this year. They are a dumpster fire.
Yeah. They are the definition of stank. So, all right. That's the best part. I love doing that. So, all right. For Ben David, Jason Ciccone, and Tailgates of Hell podcast, NFC East podcast for the common man. We'll catch you next week.
For all the latest NFC East news and opinions, check out tailgatesofhell.com or follow on Twitter @tailgatesofhell.